At $94 million, Terminator 2 is not only the most expensive sequel in history, it's the most expensive movie ever made. $15 million of that was paid to its star, Arnold Schwarzenegger, largely in the form of a Gulfstream G3 jet plane. And another $5 or $6 million went to the writer-director James Cameron. Film critic Stephen Schiff tells us whether the rest of the money wound up on the screen.
Actually, it did. Terminator 2 is too long, too repetitive, and too self-important, but it does deliver the goods. By which I mean this is a movie in which a lot of explosions get exploded, a lot of car chases get car chased, a lot of gun battles get gun battled. Best of all, well, there's this special effect. It's a watery, malleable, metallic sort of thing that the people at George Lucas's special effects factory have refined and varied until it's positively hypnotic. So much so that director James Cameron can get away with turning it into a major character. T-1000, the new prototype Terminator who can metamorphose into anything, and who's practically unstoppable. More unstoppable, you ask, than the creaky old T-800 Terminator played by Arnold Schwarzenegger? Well, that's what we're here to find out. Both these Terminators, you see, have been sent from the year 2029 into our own age to do battle over a 13-year-old boy named John Connor. They both know that if he's allowed to live, John will grow up to become a great resistance leader, and that after the nuclear war of 1997, he will lead the humans in their battle against the machines, who will by then have taken over the planet. Now, the machines have sent T-1000 to kill young John. The humans, meanwhile, have sent their own reprogrammed T-800, Arnold, to protect him. In fact, even though Arnold is still every inch a Terminator, he's gotten almost cuddly in this movie. The film even toys with making him a father figure for John, whose own father was the gladiator from the future in Terminator 1. Here, in one of John's many lectures on Earth life, he tells his trusty T-800 how much his mom misses his dad.
She still loves him, I guess. I see her crying sometimes. She denies it totally, of course, like she got something stuck in her eye.
Why do you cry?
You mean people?
Yeah.
I don't know. We just cry. You know, when it hurts.
Pain causes it?
No. It's different. It's when there's nothing wrong with you, but you're in anyways. You get it?
No.
Obviously, Terminator 2 isn't afraid to get schmaltzy. There's also a voiceover narration that isn't afraid to get pretentious, and a lot of save-the-world moralizing that isn't afraid to get ponderous. But Cameron is smart to build all these seemingly extraneous subtexts into his film. When you're making a movie that's essentially a nonstop battle between soulless machines, you inject humanity wherever you can. Cameron does it by bringing back Linda Hamilton as John's mother, who'll do anything to protect her son, not just out of mother love, but out of a feverish determination to save the world from a future only she can see. Hamilton plays her as a maddened slab of bristling sinew, half commando, half lioness protecting her cub. It's a striking portrait of female heroism, not unlike the one Sigourney Weaver delivered in Cameron's movie Aliens. Still, you don't come to Terminator 2 for the characterizations. You come to see Arnold play an inarticulate expanse of muscle, which of course he does beautifully. But you come for another reason, too. To experience something not so different from the pleasure we receive from spectator sports. You come to see human limitations being surpassed. By robots, yes, but robots who look at least as homo sapien as, say, your average sumo wrestler. And one more thing. In Terminator 2, you'll find confirmation of what many moviegoers have long suspected, that for $94 million, you can make a sequel almost as good as the $6.5 million original.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.